Okay, I'm going to invite my bride, Pastor Kim, to come up. She's going to share with me this morning, and I'm excited about having her with me. She's been along for the journey the whole way with me. And so we are starting this new series with Pastor Charles. Did a great graphic, if you'll throw that up, Stepping into the Unknown. And basically, we'll get it up there. Basically, stepping into the unknown is the whole Christian life. There's no secret that if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to be called to take steps and not know where this is going. You're going to take steps and say, I'm not sure where this is leading, but God's leading me to take these steps. And so we're going to start out. We're going to share our journey of how we got here today, you know, from 50 years ago. We're going to take you on this journey. And so before we do, I want to anchor it in the scriptures as we do here. First in Romans chapter 4, it's speaking about Abraham being our spiritual father. And in Romans chapter 4, he says, you guys got that? Romans 4, are we on it? Here we go. But who also follow, talking about believers, we follow in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had. Now, that's a big statement. You can spend a lot of time. Read his life and his journey, he and Sarah. But I want Pastor Kim to read to us out of Hebrews, the chapter of faith. We're going to be in this chapter, in this series, going through these different people that took these giant steps of faith into the unknown. And I want you to anchor, following the footsteps. What were those? Let me show you the first steps. Go ahead, we'll read Hebrews 11, verse 8.
By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going.
You know, a lot of people say, well, I'd follow Jesus if he told me where he's going. But you don't know. I began my journey by faith, and so did you. And tell us how you began that faith journey of coming to Jesus.
Well, you know, I guess I knew there was a God out there somewhere, but he wasn't personal to me. And so growing up, I had a lot of pain and difficulties in my life, especially as a teenager, and I moved into a whole living for sin kind of place in my life, filling all the voids in my heart that were not filled. We were designed to be filled. There's a void in our heart that only God could fill, and I was filling it with a lot of other things, not realizing how empty I was. And so as I began to go through life, I ended up going through a marriage and a divorce. I ended up being a single mom, and I realized at that point in my life, things were just going down, down, down for me. And I realized I don't want to live like this. There's got to be a better way. I started attending a little church in Jacksonville, 10th Street Baptist. Sweet people loved on me, put their arms around
Brother
me.
Brother Billy.
Brother Billy and Ann Strickland, they were precious. And so one service, I began to, something started happening in my heart. And I started hearing the invitation that where they give you an opportunity to say yes to Jesus as your Lord. My heart was pounding. My head was pounding. And back then you walked to the altar and you said yes to Jesus. And so I came forward. I bowed on my knees with a brother in the Lord and prayed and gave my heart to Jesus. And I felt the Lord from that point on becoming all that I needed. He filled that void. I still had things to grow. I still had things to deal with. But all of a sudden, I had somebody in my heart that I'd never had. This word that I tried to read one time before I knew the Lord, I went to the book of Revelation. I was with some girl was trying to get me to read it, and I was reading it. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't read this. I threw it down. I was like, I don't want anything to do with that if that's what that is. But once I found Jesus and I gave my heart to him, I picked this word up, and it was like, oh my goodness, these words are to me. My eyes were open spiritually. My heart was open. My ears were open. All of a sudden, I realized the Creator and the God of the universe had written this word so that I could know him intimately. And that's what happened in my life.
Now, God's working and Jacksonville being working two places at the same time. Because I'm a Fort Myers boy and got arrested, hardened heart, didn't believe in God, didn't believe in anything. But when you're broken down, you've shamed your family, you're at the bottom. I did buy the same word that she was talking about. I just started cracking it open, and it began to speak. It didn't answer any of my questions. It just kept reminding me, I love you, I love you, I love you. I died for you, I died for you. And I went as well to a Baptist church, and they made a call to Christ, and I made a good deal with God. I said, if you let somebody else go first, I'll go next. But if you know anything about walking with Jesus, he's a terrible negotiator. He just doesn't negotiate. It's his way. He's called Lord Jesus. And so I came out. Now, maybe in his mercy he'd do something like that for you, but he didn't for me. Didn't make it easy. I came, same similar, came to the front, surrendered my life to Christ. I knew nothing about the Bible. I knew, you talk about stepping into the unknown. But I found somebody that loved me. And then I began the stirrings and hungers to serve him. And when you give Jesus your yes, like Abraham, by faith when he was called, think of salvation. When that stirring in your heart, God says, I love you. I want you to be my child. He obeyed. Obedience isn't an emotion. It's a step. A choice of the will. And I chose to give my life to Christ because he loved me. But then I began every service I went to, I'd come forward. Even churches that day, you don't come forward in. I came forward to the Episcopal church. I just was nearby and my school, I came forward. And he said, what are you doing, son? We're not doing communion right now. I just need some prayer. I gave my life to Christ in every church service I went in. I didn't care whether it was Baptist, Methodist, I didn't care. I just knew I wanted all Jesus had for me. When I gave him my life, I gave him my future. And that began to stir and lead me to do like Abraham. I had to leave my family. My dad was really unhappy. I wanted to go into the ministry. I wanted to serve God my whole life. I packed up my little car. I left Fort Myers, Florida. And I drove to Jacksonville. Now, it may not sound like much to you, but when you grew up in Fort Myers, this 50 years ago, Fort Myers, it was nothing. There was nothing. You know, Daniel stopped at the railroad tracks, and it was dirt road after that. You know, there was no international airport. There was no, it was nothing. And Cape Coral, forget it. There was one, maybe starting a high school. You know, we called it Cape Coma back then. So I never came here. And so I drove my little car up there, nearly came home overwhelmed, didn't know where to stay. God, just in his faithfulness, as you'll learn in this journey, he won't tell you what you're going to do ahead of time, but he will tell you he'll be with you and show you what you're going to need to do. Well, I don't know. My life's poured out. I'm going to follow Jesus. Well, I preach in this little 10th Street Baptist church, and I get done with the message and hanging out with people. I see this beautiful girl. You know, it's kind of an anointing. You could see it on her. And, you know, and she, I was like, she's the prettiest girl, not just in this church, prettiest girl anywhere. Hands down. Then she turns around and she's got a baby in her arm. And I'm like, oh, man. Then to shorten the story real quick, I found out that she didn't have a husband. And that baby didn't have a father. But I didn't know that what she had done before I ended up there following a call to Jesus. Tell them about your call after salvation.
Well, I had been growing in the Lord, and I got a hunger for how can I serve God like many of you? What can I do in the church? I was teaching the 2 and 3 year olds. I was, believe it or not, Kelly singing in the choir. I mean, I was in a small church. They needed help. And I was going out doing evangelism, knocking on doors, cold turkey, telling people about Jesus. And so one day we had a evangelist came, and he did a week-long kind of what we call revival service. And I remember being there, and he was talking about your full surrender to Christ. And I knew I had given my heart to Jesus, and he was my Lord. But he talked about more than that. He talked about being able to take a risk into the unknown and being available to God to go into the mission field and to go for God to give the gospel. And my heart just burned within me. And so he gave an invitation for those of you that want to give that surrender to the Lord. So I walked to the front, and I fully expected half the church to walk with me, because if they were feeling what I was feeling, they were going to be there. And I got there, and there was nobody but me. And I was just kind of like scared, nervous. And I looked over, and one of my girlfriends, Shirlene, she was beside me. And I remember at that point, I did not know what it meant, but I knew it was God calling me, and I knew it was real. And I didn't know how I was going to make it happen, but I knew that this was a surrender.
And not long after, she met her mission field right here.
Whew. Little did I know. And my girlfriend that surrendered to me, too, she married a pastor right after. We both did within.
And she didn't even know. So we met 2 months later, got engaged, month after that, married. So, you know, I tell people, whoa, we're engaged. We're getting married in 2 years. Not if you keep your zipper up, you won't.
You do it the right way. A lot of quick weddings around here.
You do it the right way, you'll get married. You just need to know, is this the one God wants? You don't need to wait beyond that. Is this the one God wants? I wanted a wife that not only was beautiful, but one that was sold out to Jesus. And I shared with her, I want someone to marry me that'll be willing to go wherever God... I didn't know I was going to be a pastor. I knew I was going to preach the gospel. Didn't know how, where.
You were doing evangelism.
Youth revivals. Preaching on the streets and jails and nursing homes. And so she looks at me and she says, I didn't want to marry anybody that wasn't going to be sold out to Jesus. And we decided we gave each other our yes, because we gave God our yes, that we're something, that we're called to do this together. And that God, you know, I think about Abraham when he was called to go out. He had a wife with him. She doesn't get a lot of credit. She has a little weak patch, but so does he. And so people tend to forget that Sarah was part of the faith of leaving. They left all their relatives, all their family, all their income, they left everything to come and follow. And I want you to know that over the years, you know, Kim, in this next step of our faith, it cost her, because God called us to a church in Sanibel, and it required her to leave every loved one, every friend, her job, the grandparents that I wrenched there. I had no idea. I didn't know what a grandbaby meant to a grandparent. You know, I didn't. And I just knew this church, I'd preached that one time, wrote a letter and said, we want you to come be our pastor. And I'm like, I'm 22, she's 21, we're 6 months married. And I'm like, we tried to go back over this. I don't remember talking to her much about it, other than, honey, we're going to Sanibel. Probably, I don't know, I dropped a bomb on her. I don't know how it went down.
Well, you said you heard God, and I prayed, and I was like, yep, I'm hearing him too. I'm going with you.
Her parents, not so much. They were not happy. Wasn't so much missing me, missing her and their grandbaby, and who led us in worship this morning. And so we packed up everything we had in a little U-Haul. I'm talking a little U-Haul. We had a dog and a baby, and we drove off to Sanibel with people that loved her weeping. She took a step of faith that cost her. It's costly. Listen to me. Here's I'd give credit, but I don't know who said it, but I've just got it memorized. Beware when the benefits seem clear and the cost vague, that Satan may be wooing you into a trap. Oh, look, this, all this. What's it gonna cost? Well, don't worry about that now. Just put it on the credit card. Don't worry about that. But when the cost seems really clear and the benefits vague, beware. The Holy Spirit may be wooing you into the will of God. So Kim's like, I'm leaving everything. For what? Well, you could say, well, you're going to Sanibel. You got to understand, that's 50 years ago. It was barely at a bridge up. I mean, she cried all the way over the causeway, wept. Why are you taking us? Nobody's going to
It was not a house for how many miles
when
do we got out
When you go up Sanibel,
to
Captiva
the,
Road,
There
4 miles.
There wasn't one house or one Nothing. Store or anything. It was just way out there, this little bitty church. And we actually were going to be moving into the church they built on a little addition that was our house.
And it was also Sunday School nursery. And so I pull up. I got my U-Haul. She's sobbing. I get a call. The deacon comes by and he says, you guys can't move in yet because the founding church, McGregor Baptist, has to vote on you. And I'm like,
that was a month away.
I got no income. I quit my job. She quit her job. Nobody's supporting us. Everything I own's in that U-Haul, and I couldn't afford it for another week, so I unloaded it on the front porch of this little house, and it's kind of like, I ain't going nowhere. So, but I preached at the church, and McGregor, they voted on me. It was, I'm not going to say unanimous, but it was a majority. Got the vote. We moved in. No money. No, I never asked what the salary would be. I never asked what the, nothing. All I knew was God gave us orders to go. We stayed there 17 years. I offended the island the first year. I offended 80% of the people on the island. And then God said, all right, now spend 16 years of kind of working your way through that. But her willingness, now baby Kelly's growing. Baby Christy, who's watching online, she's sick and couldn't make it, but she comes along and then kind of hit back-to-back homers. And right, not even a year after she was born came the baby, Casey, who's here with us, and they've been our journey. Nobody's been with us like Kelly, Christy, Casey.
There's a picture.
They got a picture. That's baby Kelly. That's 22-year-old Jamie. 21. Ty, come here. Kayla, are you here? Where are you? Come here. I know he's your brother, so don't get all weird about it. Okay, come over here. And I look just like, he gets his good looks from Grandpa. She gets hers from Grandma. Let me just tell you. But how old are you?
22.
Your birthday is like Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
He's 22. That was me. Okay. This was Grandma. How old are you, Kayla?
21.
21. So now you think of, now he runs his own company. He's got a construction company and he does well. So he's not, you know, she works at the hospital and she's our first one to launch and get her own place to live. And that's a miracle in this culture right now. And, others hopefully will follow, but she's worked two jobs to make it happen. And so, okay, I won't borrow a baby, but if we had a baby in the arms here, now you think, yeah, Kai's not a baby, not a baby. We had a baby. This was us in 1979. We got married in 78, came in 1979, and we took the church. Now, you got to understand, I knew everything there was to know about anything. And about the Bible, which I didn't, but I didn't know anything about, you know, life and business. I had retired millionaires in the church. I had people that had run corporations and airline pilots and just, and I've got this 22-year-old, wet behind the ears. I laid sod for a living. That's all. I worked at a repo car lot, you know. She was working at the bank. And so we brought nothing but Jesus. But I just want to say this. There were people three times our age that loved us, prayed for us, was patient with us, let us fail, didn't expect us to be. I'd say to people sometimes, where were you when you were 22? You know, still picking your nose, some people. This, but I just want you to see the word picture of a church that honored us. Kim was completely introverted and quiet it was a suicide mission that we went on. But I didn't, that's all they had back then. We had no mentors, no coaches, no wise, no, just, oh, you can preach, you're called, go do it. All right, give them a hand. Good job. Good job. He's almost as good looking as I was back then. Almost. Now, she looks almost the same. Put that picture back up. Now, truly, that she hardly looks. She, people look at, that's her. I mean, it's like, I put a pair of glasses on her. Now, Kelly's the one that's changed in that picture. We're the same. She's the one that's gone up, grown up, got old. Did I say old? I mean, grew up, matured. Ow, I'm the tallest, not the oldest. So it was a huge leap of faith, but they took a leap of faith and trusting God, not us. And so we stayed 17 years, had an amazing run, loved it there. And we planted a church out here with a small group that was meeting. And anybody here, Jackson's, you're here, Doug and Peggy, Robin Carroll, you were here. They were part of this group. And Doug kindly reminded me that in that group, when they were saying, we want to have a vineyard in Cape Coral, I'm like, don't look at me. And then I shook my finger and said, I'll never live in Cape Coral. From my mouth to God's ear. Be careful what you tell God. Abraham didn't say, I'll never go where I don't know. No, God began, you know, we have a phrase we steal from the military, but old orders are good orders until you receive new orders. And we had old orders. We stayed on that island with hell or high water. We fought battles there. We saw people come and go all over the nations from that little church. But then God began to speak to us that I want another yes. I want another yes. And I'm like, I don't have that in me. She didn't. You don't. We walked to the beach four houses down. I could hear it in bed at night, the waves lapping.
His father had built us a two-story beautiful home, and we were settled. Our girls loved it. It was safe. You could ride your bikes all over. We loved it.
I grew up in Fort Myers. You don't ever dream of living in Cape Coral when you grow up in Fort Myers. I'm sorry. But I didn't come here because I liked the city. And God called us to come here because he wanted a vineyard here. And it was painful. I wrote letters to all of our snowbirds because we were moving to Cape Coral. I had no finances. And we were. I did both churches for a season. We started at Trafalgar Middle, and I'd preach and drive like a maniac, preach. It was stupid. And I wrote this letter saying, hey, we're stepping out of the Sanibel Vineyard. We got no income. Could you help us? Nada. Not a dollar. And these are some big hitters.
They didn't want us to leave.
They didn't want us to leave. They weren't happy. And they did. Why would they fund something they don't want? They didn't. So we came here like Sanibel, no income.
Met in the Life Center.
We met in a Life Center, then we moved to Trafalgar, and we rented that for almost 3 years, and then we bought this building.
Was a risk.
We had $2,000 in the bank to put down on this building, and we were less than 100 people. And God said, buy this building. I'm like, I had taught the church for years we'd never go in debt. We never had debt on Sanibel. Never. We had three building programs with plans drawn and never spent a dime. God wasn't in it. But he said, I want you to buy this building. And I'm like, no way. How are we going to pay? How are we going to pay for it? Now, that is wisdom in asking those questions. But in this sense, the cost was crystal clear. The benefit, please, God, I hope. The Lord said, you'll have a new church in a day when you open the doors of this church. And we've been all over the newspaper because we supposedly stole this building from the people that were swindled by the people that managed the American Legion back then. And we bid and got it for less than 50 cents on a dollar of what it cost to build it. And I want you to know, this building is debt-free. And we stepped out because of the faithfulness. Some have come and gone. We've had so many kind people to us. This year is 30 years in Cape Coral for this church. 30 years. We're going to have a big party. We're going to have a big party this year celebrating 30 years. We've seen thousands of people get the bell rang. We've baptized thousands of people. We've seen people raised up. I had so many stories as I look out, and some of you have just labored with us and cried with us and prayed with us, and this is our life. This is our world. This church is we love. So when you fought, we never knew back as a young 19-year-old said yes to Jesus 18, go to seminary. I didn't know she was part of my future, but my yes to Jesus led to her yes to Jesus. And our yes to Jesus led to our calling to follow Jesus. It doesn't mean you've got to go into the ministry. It's not the point here. But if you're going to give Jesus your yes, like Abraham, you're going to be called to step into things you don't know. What's the cost? Seems unbelievable. I'm not sure what the, but did God call you to do it? Do you know the sense that he's whispered, yes, I want you to step out? That's the journey of stepping into the unknown. You'll never do it until you take that first step to Jesus and you say, Jesus, I want to trust you as my Lord, not because I have all the answers, not because I can know all the Bible, not because I've got all this scientific evidence, but you demonstrated your love for me on a cross, and I love you. I need you in my life. When you take that first step into the unknown, the adventure begins with God, and you can't begin the adventure. Wherever you are at in your life, you have to start there. Abraham had to start with, oh God, all I've got to go on is you and your promise. That's all. That's all you need. And he left everything. He stepped into the unknown and met the God who was waiting on him there.
Because God loves faith.
He loves faith.
He loves faith.
Without
he loves
it, you
trust.
Can't please him.
He looks for it from us.
Let's pray together. We just want to take a minute right now. And hopefully our story can help encourage you to have your own story. It doesn't matter. Everybody's different, but all the same. We all need Jesus Christ in our life. We all need him. Whatever way you come through, for me, it was drugs and arrest, and Kim with a broken relation, and just whatever it is that brings you to that place, just maybe just that deep sense of purposelessness, emptiness, that you need somebody to love you forever. His name's Jesus. And if you've not given him your yes, you can do that right now. You can say, Jesus, I give you my yes. Come be the Lord of my life. Forgive my sins. I commit my whole being to you. Just give him your yes this morning. You're online, wherever you're listening. I can't give him your yes. Your spouse can't give him your yes. Your parents can't give you your yes. You have to give your own yes to Jesus. It's that surrender to say, come be my Lord Jesus. Father, bless those that are whispering that prayer right now, that you hear it and you'll respond to it. Give them the courage, Lord, to take a stand in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand for a minute. We're going to sing a song in a minute, but we're not done by any means. We've got something we want to share. But if you prayed that prayer with me this morning, and this is your day to go public with your yes to Jesus. We don't invite people to come to the front, and that doesn't matter how you do it. But we do. We know, though, that if you keep it hidden and private, your growth will never happen. If you can't give Jesus a public yes, your private yes will be very, very hindered. Personal, yes. No one can do it for you. But public, it's required. So who prayed that prayer with us this morning? Just slip up your hand. Let me call on you and say, I say yes to Jesus as my Lord. Yes, sir. Go ahead. I say yes to Jesus as my Lord. Good. All right, good. He knows he can hear you. He hears your heart. Come on.
Back here, this.
Yes, young man, go ahead. God bless you, man. God bless you. Looks like my grandson. He looks like Gavin. Wow. God bless you. Welcome home, both of you. Welcome to the family of God. Someone else, this is your day. Begin the journey today. It's a historic day for you to begin that journey. It's a big deal. Big deal, what both of you just did. Anyone else? I say yes to Jesus as my Lord. Be bold. Give him your yes. It's so.
Am I seeing a hand back here?
Yes, go ahead. Yes, in the back. Go ahead.
I say yes to Jesus.
Say it out loud. I say yes to Jesus as my Lord. God bless you, man.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
I just think what God has for you, young man. Don't limit him.
There's another person here by Doug.
Yes, go ahead. Come on.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Was that a young lady or a young man in the back that just did that? I can't see with the hoodie. Man, all young men. Come on. I prefer the girls. My daughters raised them. Didn't have son. Now I have grandsons. But there's something about seeing a young man stand for Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to Dios.
Amen.
Okay. Now you can have a seat. All right. We said all that to say this. 6 months ago, God began speaking to us about some new orders. And we've known for some time with integrity as leaders, when you lead a church this size, you can't make knee-jerk decisions. You know, when you decide to stop an aircraft carrier, it takes 3 miles in the water until it comes to a halt. And you gotta think ahead. So God began to speak to us in a really very non-emotional way. It's time to make a plan for your succession in the life of this church. Now, he'd already given us the word years ago that we have a number of successors in our church. And we do. We have a team that's rock solid, that has a solid bench. But God said, I want you to make a plan. Got an agreement. We've been agonizing over this for several years. Clarity, Lord. But when God says, I have new orders, I want you to take a step of faith. And you talk about unknown. It's all we've ever done. And many of my friends have done this, but their wives had their own careers. This is our career. We don't have a life apart from this church. We love this church. So we've been working for the last 5 months, working on inner heart work. We have a spiritual coach, mentors, counselors. We've just to begin to set up for this Sunday to make this announcement for our future that in 2026, December 6th, which happens to be her mother's birthday, we're gonna transition the church. Now, we're not retiring. We don't like that word. We're transitioning. We're going to keep our gifts and callings, but we're going to release the church for the future. Part of our reason for doing this is because of our grandchildren and great-grandchildren. We want them to have a vineyard in the future. We can't make that happen much longer in our own strength. Now, I'm going to tell you this. 30 years, you can't run us out. You can't scare us out. You can't starve us out. You can't stab us out. You can't backbite us out. You can't betray us out. We're veterans in the battle. We've held the fort like William Wallace. Hold. There's been times where we're like, God, we're done. We can't keep. Hold. Part of obeying God is don't quit. Don't give up. Don't give in until God says there's another plan.
But when he says there's another plan, you got to follow him and take that risk.
So we're literally stepping into, we have no idea. We have some inklings. We love missions. We love right. We have no idea. But we're here until December 2026. That's not that long away. 97 weekends. I haven't counted, but 97. Don't hear me like most police officers can tell you when they're going to retire. 4 years, 3 months, 2 weeks, and a day. It's a Vietnam syndrome. I had a sweet sister in the church. I was having a conversation with her. I said, this is the date. She gets tears. She goes, that's the date I'm retiring. And then she says, I hate my job. And I said, that's not our reality. We love our job. We love what we do. And we do it well. It's going well. We're not like leaking and like he can't keep going much longer. You know, it's we want to choose to do this and set the vision for the future, because the best is yet to come with this church. And we believe that 100%. And we can't take the church into the future of what God's called it to be. But we've poured our life into someone that we believe God has chosen. We've put 20 years into this individual. He's not, don't think of this young guy that I was at 22 with no mentoring. This individual's had 20 years of hands-on, hard molding from the Stilsons. Kindness, toughness, patience in your face, arms around, causing them to cry. You might think, oh, it'd be so nice to work at the church. No, it didn't. We have high expectations. You put on your big girl pants and big boy pants to work around here. Let me just help you. The team didn't get to where it is by just being cushy and, oh, well, we don't care. It's just true. No, you go to work when you don't feel like it. You do your job. You do what you're paid. People are working hard to pay you, and they expect you to be. That's why when COVID came, our staff went to work. The back boy at Publix went to work. Our staff went to work because they're being paid by you and your sacrifices and what you do. And so I just want to say we are thrilled. I'm going to let Pastor Kim be able to do the unveil of who God picked to be our successor.
Well, Pastor Jamie and Carrie, Jason.
Wow.
Jason.
Wow. Wow.
No,
wow.
I'm... Wow. Jason and Carrie, come on up. I'm too used to saying your name.
Come on.
I'm too used to saying Jamie.
Yeah, let me just, Carrie says you need to make that clear. And so, yeah, the clarity is Pastor Jason is going to take the lead in 2 years. Carrie's going to be his 100% supportive wife, mother of their children, and follower of Christ. It's just not right now. Her sense isn't a calling similar to Kim, so she's going to be all in and is all in. But go ahead. What do you guys got to say?
Yeah, I mean, when we get to that spot, and in 2 years, we'll be close to 50 years of ministries. You took us through the last 47 and a half or whatever it is. And it's just such an honor for us to get to have been here for the last 21 years of that, and who's seen how good God has been as you guys have continued to lead this church faithfully, to take risks, to step into the unknown consistently as you share today. And we're honored to get to play a role in that in the future, but for today, just to celebrate how faithful y'all have been, how courageous you've been, how loving you've been. I mean, like y'all, there are pastors too. They married us, the highest moments in our life, and yeah. And they've faithfully carried us in the most difficult moments of our lives, too. Think of, you know, burying my father and other moments like that, that they've pastored us through that. So we've gotten to see at least 21 years of those 47 plus years of ministry, and it's just been such a joy to see how good God's been through you all to this church and everyone else that you've come into contact with. So thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness to step into the unknown regularly. And we're excited to walk out these next 2 years with you and see all that God has for our church.
The one thing I said I wouldn't do today was talk. And he released me from speaking. Just
till right now.
Till right, yes. But that's how God works, right? Yeah, it's going to be a process. I mean, just like Jason said, there are pastors too. We've walked through life with them. It's not going to be easy, but that's why we have you guys for prayer and for comfort. So yes, just we ask for your prayers. So thank you.
Historic day. This is the future.
Yes. See,
decisions shape the future. And this is a huge day for us. And we're excited. We really are. Are we sad? I had telling somebody, we were meeting with them, just giving them a little heads up. She starts crying. She said, these are happy tears. These are happy tears. And then she said, I came to this church when I was 19. I'm 44 now. I've got a husband and three kids. Amen. You are our kids.
Yeah.
And we've given three daughters away. We know what that is. It's terrible. It's terrible. If you think there's any joy in it, nah. Hated all of them, the guys. But I'm exaggerating. But to be able to entrust our church to someone that's trustworthy. Now,
yes.
Pastor Charles could have picked him. We could go down the list. Couldn't have picked Pastor Kelly because she'd have killed us. But but we knew that Jason is not our pick. He's God's pick.
Amen.
And we had to hear that. We assumed it would be Jason. We've had conversation with our church council. They knew if we went down in a ball of fire in an airplane crash, he was going to be a bare minimum, be the interim. You have to have contingency plans for crises. But we didn't know until we knew that God said, he's my pick. He's not your pick. We get the pick because God picked and gave us permission. And he's God's pick. And so I'm counting on you to come along. That's why I use that little, he's not the 22-year-old punk I was when I started. He's a mature, I've been around a lot of pastors in the vineyard. And I don't want to put anybody else down, but he's a seasoned veteran. He has been through anything you can imagine in the ministry and working with us, walking through lots. So he's been trained on the ground. And so there's not an unknown quantity here to us that they are set for this. They're ready for such a time as this. And so I hope you run with us this next 97 weeks. Who's counting? 97 weeks. I hope you run with us and then believe for what the new future is going to be. It's going to be good. This isn't a step back. This is a step into what
these
God
are the
calls.
Generations that are coming behind us that they're going to be able to relate to the young families and the children, and God's just going to do so much more than we ever were able to experience here. So we're excited for you.
You're the best. So I got to pick the last song today. So, and Kelly has to lead us in it. She didn't get a say in it. But this should be all of your testimony. Some of you began that journey today. Who knows where that's going to lead you? If you keep giving him your yes, just keep giving him your yes. It doesn't have to be some big grandiose thing. It's just the purposes of God are carried out in your life because he's good. And he's faithful. You never lose taking a risk, which is what John Wimber taught us. You spell faith, R-I-S-K. It's going to be that, I don't know. But he knows. But where are we going? He knows.
It's with him.
Yeah. How are we going to get there? He knows. But what's the plan? I'll show you as you need it. I need more. I want to know what we're going to do next. No, you don't need it. You need this right now. My coach told us, you guys are going to take every ounce of your being for the next 2 years to prepare everybody and them and the team for the handoff. 2 years. So we're all in. We're going to get in the car. We've already wrote out what a good succession looks like. And for us, it's going to be getting in the car that Sunday, December 6, 2026. We're going to look at each other. We're going to give each other a high five and say, that was our finest moment in 50 years of ministry. That right there. That was our finest moment. So come along with us on the journey. Let's worship him.